true son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now.
A minute to greet each other, tell somebody you're glad to see them here. Don't get lost with this new configuration of the pews. Maybe leave a trail of breadcrumbs back to your spot.
Good morning again. Even with the small crowd with the SBA graduation going on down there, we still got a talkative group, which is awesome. I love it. It's good to hear. we'll just see how the sermon goes. Maybe just talk over me or something. No. But a few praise and prayer updates here. As you can see down, well, I guess you can't see it, but on what I wrote down, the Ohm's granddaughter, right, your great granddaughter, Willa, she was born this week and via C-section, and everything seems to be going good and in that way. So keep that in your prayers, and what a praise that is. On the right hand side there, about a third of the way down or so, if you guys have, I'm sure you've seen her around. Lynette Pulich passed away this week. She had a heart attack. And so if you could keep her family in your prayers and stuff, that was a very unexpected deal. So, it's a tough one for them. And if you could keep them in your prayers, it'd be great. So also, the Doms had Ezekiel Henry. Andy and Maggie had Ezekiel Henry yesterday morning real early. So praise for that. Praise for another big baby. You know, it's a good deal. They got that all done and taken care of. So they should be back today. Is that right? Okay, awesome. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dearly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity we have to come and worship you. Lord, I thank you that we can meet publicly. I thank you that we can meet and pray to you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for who you are as our God and our shepherd, Lord. I just pray throughout this prayer list, Lord, there's lots of names, lots of issues, lots of lots of concerns that people have, and lots of praises as well, Lord. And I lift up every one of them, Lord. But specifically, Lord, I just lift up the Polish family, Lord. I just pray that you would be with them and show yourself to them through this time. Loss is tough, Lord, and it's just really tough, and we got to look to you and who you are to us as our guide and our shepherd and our comfort, Lord. Lord, I just pray that they can look to you through this, and you would show yourself to them. Lord, I thank you for the couple praises of new life, Lord, and just bringing this life into the world. Lord, I just pray that you would be with each of these children and each of these parents, Lord, and I just pray that you would continually show these kids and the parents, Lord, to look to you and show yourself to them, and just pray that they would become godly men and women, Lord, one day. Lord, I just thank you for our missionaries. Lord, I just thank you for the Schmieds and the work that they do. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with them and continually show yourself to them and help them to spread your word, Lord. And I just pray for this offering that we're about to take. I just pray that you would use it both here in our community, Lord, but also through our missionaries and just to be able to spread your word and your gospel around the world. I just pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Good morning. I know we're fewer in number today, but we can still praise the Lord the same. It's another nice sunshiny day. We've had some moisture, which was very welcome. And now we're going to get a little bit of sunshine and maybe a little heat, which is also probably due, because the Lord knows our needs and he gives us our needs as we need them. As we well know, but it gives us protection in all that we do as well. So let's stand and sing a few praises this morning.
Power in the blood, come for a plan. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, and working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, and working power in the precious blood.
One thing we can be sure of is that there is power in that blood of Jesus, and that's that power that saves us. It's the free gift that he gave us. Was, you know, what more can you give but your life? So. Thank you. next song.
Thank you for that and the ability to then sing that we believe in your name. Lord, I pray as we look to Psalm 23 now and you as our shepherd, I just pray that we all will be able to learn something about you and something that we need to change in our lives. Lord, I just pray these in your son's name. Amen.
So you guys can turn to Psalm 23. We're going to look to that because with our VBS theme this year, our theme is the Lord is my shepherd. It's Emerald Crossing. As you're walking in, you see all the green. We're in Ireland. And Psalm 23 talks about the green pastures and all that stuff. So you'll see lots of greenery around here and sheep and all of those things going on. You can see the picture with the shepherd leading the sheep. And we're going to see who God is to us through Psalm 23 and what we can do and what we are through that. So Psalm 23, I'm just going to read through the whole psalm, and then we'll go down and back through and break it up a little bit and look at some other scriptures that have to do with it as well. So Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Some of you guys might even have that memorized. That's a pretty, familiar psalm, familiar passage, familiar chapter to a lot of us. You hear it read all the time. You might see that in the nurseries or different things around church or in Sunday school classes. And it's known as a comfort psalm, which it truly is, as the Lord is our shepherd. I want to look at it in a little bit of a different way and have it as a challenging psalm to us as well. It is a comfort if we know who Christ is. The Lord is my shepherd, is what he says. It doesn't say the Lord is your shepherd. It doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. It says the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. You got to say that to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. It shows the personalness of who God is, who the Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay? That's so important to understand because we're gonna go through this and we're going to break it down verse by verse a little bit, but also kind of section by section to see. We're going to see who God is. So the first thing, if you want to write these down, you can. If you don't, then that's fine. I'm not offended or anything. But we're going to see that we are led. But first, we got to see who God is. Okay? So God is, fill in the blank, according to the scripture, God is objective. Okay? These things are what God is. God's not changing. It's not dependent on how God feels that day. It's objective truth. This is who God is. God is our shepherd. Okay? God is my shepherd. And that's subjective. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But God is shepherd. God is the shepherd. God is the only shepherd. That's objective. God is the shepherd. Okay? It also is that, there's a few more there than I wanted. But anyways, God is the Savior. So John 10, chapter 11 there, you can turn there to the New Testament. God, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he made a lot of I am statements, what we call the I am statements. Okay, in this chapter 10, there's a few in there. It says that he is the door. He says, "I am the door. If anyone enters me by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Dealing with what those guys knew in that context. If I would be curious to see what Jesus would use if he would do it in this context. We're a lot of cattle and not so much sheep. There's some sheep here and there, but in that context, he was using them as an example, using the sheep as an example, and that he is the door. Verse 11 says that he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep." So we can sit here and we say, "Oh yeah, God is my shepherd. Yep, that's true. I follow him. I follow the right morals and I follow the right attitude. You know, I haven't stolen outright. You know, I haven't lied." Unless it was a little white lie, and I'm following what God wants according to his scripture. And that's good in a way, but if you don't truly have him as your shepherd, it says the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. The good shepherd, Jesus, laid his life down for me to make him my shepherd. Okay, And it's not your parents' shepherd. It's not your kids' shepherd. It's got to be your shepherd. It's got to be your faith. Because we got to understand that there's nothing that we can do to enter into heaven. There's nothing that we can do to have a relationship, a good relationship back with Christ again because of our sin. The only thing that we can do is choose Christ as our shepherd. That's the first step in becoming Jesus, becoming our shepherd. That's what we have to do. We have to put our faith and trust in him, that there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Christ is the one that saves us. He is the one that is our shepherd. That's the one we have to follow. Okay, that's the first step. Some of you guys go, yeah, I did that when I was in vacation Bible school or church camp or whatever. And that's awesome. Okay, that's the first step in the Lord becoming your shepherd. But you guys can make that choice today to follow Christ. You don't need to wait, because we don't know whether we're going to go driving home, get in a car accident, and die. It's not something we want to think about, but it's something we got to take into consideration, because we're not promised tomorrow. It's the choices that we make in the present that make these kinds of choices that we make in the present that have an effect on us for the rest of eternity. So that I can't hit hard enough, that the Lord is our shepherd, but he's also our Savior. According to John 10:11, the Lord is a good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So if that's true, and the Lord is our shepherd, and he lays his life down for the sheep, he died on the cross for our sins, was buried for 3 days, rose again, showing that he had power over sin and death to save us from our sins, to have that relationship again, then we are, this is subjective, if Christ is truly our shepherd, then we are led, okay? We are led, just like that says there, okay? We are led. So my question to you guys would be, are you led by the good shepherd? Is your life, does your life show that, but have you made that choice to follow Christ in that way? Have you submitted yourself to him and to say, there's nothing I can do, it's you that has to save me? Because he is the perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect lamb that was slain for us on that cross. Excuse me. Okay? So with that, we're going to go on to the second part. Psalm 23, verse 1, still the second part of that. And we're going to look at what those next three, four words say. I shall not want. Okay? So if the Lord is truly our shepherd, we will be okay. And you guys are like, really? Okay. That's what you could come up with? Like, come on. Just wait. It'll come around. I got something. I'm working towards something. Okay. So we would be okay, though. We would be content. We're just okay in Christ. That's very vague and not as weighty as some words could be. But we would be okay. Okay. Because according to this, I shall not want. God is our provider. He gives us all that we need. He gives us scripture. Scripture has all that we need for life and godliness. This is how we live right. This is how we understand who God is, so we can trust in him to have a relationship with him. And that's what we got to focus on. But God is our provider. God is everything. God is everything that we need. And if we understand this, and if God is truly our Savior and our shepherd, and we follow him, then we are okay. Okay, so we are okay through Christ being our shepherd. Through this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can see that he is a provider. And he's got everything we need. We are okay. We are content. That's a tough one. We are content in Christ. Sometimes it's not easy to be content. We always want more. But through this, if Christ is our shepherd, Christ is our Savior, we don't need to look anywhere else for salvation. That's the key there. Jeez. Excuse me. Getting a little bit of a scratchy throat here. Okay? So with that, we are also secure. Go to Psalm 37, just a few more pages away. Psalm 37, 1 through 4 is also a Psalm of David. Okay? With this VBS theme, we're going over the life of David. You'll see David posters every which way. And if you want to go walk down the hallways, the ladies set up some pretty cool, I don't know, scenes and stuff through the psalm. And once you get this, once we get through this service, you'll have Psalm 23 memorized, and you can just walk down and quote it, and you'll be able to see that through that there. And then in the teen room, that's normally the teen room, is pictures of David with the verses as well through that. So you can go down and look through all of that. But this is also a psalm of David. It says, "Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land before the and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." So, does that mean if we're delighted in God, then he's just going to give us whatever we want? I hope not. I hope you don't think that. But when we truly delight ourselves in the Lord, when we truly have communion and abiding with Christ, and we truly are together with Christ, and if Christ is truly our shepherd, he's going to give us the desires of our heart, because our desires are going to change. Our desires are going to be what God wants and not what I want. It's going to be what he wants. And that's so key to understand, because he's going to give us everything that we ever needed and everything we wanted. If Christ is truly our shepherd, our desires are going to change to be more like him and to be led by God. So what are your desires? What are you wanting right now? Because remember, the "we are," if we're okay, content, and secure, that's all subjective if Christ is that. It's not straight gospel, but look at your desires. What are you wanting? What do we want to do now? What are we searching for? What are we looking for? Because a lot of times we sit back and we question. I prayed that prayer when I was in VBS, but like, did that actually work? Maybe I should do it again. Maybe I'm struggling. Is God truly leading me? Is God truly the one here following, or am I truly following God, or am I doing what I want to do? And sometimes we struggle with that. And I know with the things I've been looking through, this studying the life of David through getting ready for VBS, this passage of scripture, this message has been really something that God has put on my heart to look at myself and look at what God is doing in my life. But if our desires aren't lining up with what Christ wants, And you can look through scripture and see, is that really what I want, or is it what God wants? That could be a determination of, is God your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? And that's so key. And then the other question is, are you okay? Are you okay with what you have? Are you actually secure and content with what God has given you? That's super important to understand. Well, that was the first 9 words. So let's get into the rest of them. I didn't count how many words those were, but we'll keep moving right along. But we're not going to take as long on those. But that's so important, guys, to understand: is the Lord your shepherd? Is God the one guiding you through that? Because if he is, we're going to see some more stuff here. We're going to see the 3 R's. Okay, reduce, reuse, recycle, whatever the other ones are. No, this is rested, restored, and righteous. If God is our shepherd, we will be rested, restored, and righteous. Okay? So it says here in verse 2, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Okay? It gives us the idea of rest, restored in that verse. And then it also said, "He restores my soul. He brings my soul back up. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So through those verses, we can see that God is our rest. God is our rest. He gives us that rest through what he does to us. He gives us that, "makes me lie down in green pastures." David was a shepherd, and he was also a king. And when he was writing this, he understood all these things meant. And if we wanted to, we could go through and spend hours and hours going through this psalm and breaking it down. But the sheep there needed green pastures. They needed water, just like the cattle need here. But it says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So God is our rest in that. God is also our leader. God is the one that makes us do that. God is the one that gives us that ability and the opportunity to live in those green pastures and walk beside still waters. Oh, man. So God is rest. God is our leader. And God is also righteous. Okay? It says there that he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is the righteous one. And if we truly are following him, if we are truly following our shepherd, we will be rested. We will be restored. And we will be righteous. Okay? If we're truly following him, we will be righteous and working towards that as well. And one day, we will be righteous with God in heaven if we've chosen that and chosen him as our Savior. So why does he do all this? He makes me lie down in green pastures, lead me. Why does he do that for us? Is it just to make us look better? Is it just make us feel good and give us comfort? What is our purpose in life? What do we do on this earth? Why did God put us in this situation? That's the question I feel like we all deal with. Are we just here to be a face and blip and gone again? God put us on this earth. God put us in these situations. God put us here to have a relationship with him, to give him the glory. We are here for God's glory. And if we can understand that, and if we can see that we're not here for ourselves, we're not even here for our families, but if we understand that we're here for God's glory, and what we do, every single thing that we do is to see that in that light, that we're here for his name's sake, our lives are going to get a little bit better, I think. It's not always going to be easier, but it's going to be better if we understand that. And I think that's what we got to understand is, and the question we got to ask ourselves, do we see all that God does, all that God gives us, if we're truly okay and content, and we see all the provisions that God gives us, that's great. But do we see that and make it? Do we show everybody else around us that that's for his name's sake? Is that something that we get and we're just like, okay, good? Or do we show that to everyone else that that's for his name's sake, for the glory of God? I think that's super important as well, like David's trying to convey here. Verse 4 and 5. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Look at that again, and it says, even though I walk. The first ones were, he leads me, he makes me, he restores, he leads. And then it goes, I walk. Sometimes, it's not always this way, but sometimes we put ourselves into situations that we shouldn't be. And that's not God guiding us. When you look at the life of David and the guy that wrote this book, or wrote this psalm, we gotta understand too that there is sometimes that David didn't do anything wrong, yet Saul, the king, was trying to kill him because of his jealousy toward David. And David was literally running from his life for his life from Saul, yet David did nothing wrong. So sometimes, and just like the example we have in the Bible of Job, all these bad things happened to him. Job didn't do anything wrong. There are some situations that is like that. But it changes here. It goes, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads, even though I walk. God's not the one that's putting us through this. God allows these things to happen. It says, even though I walk through, you got to make sure you get that too. It's not like he puts us in the valley of the shadow of death and says, you're there and you're done. Okay? It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and it's not even death. Guys, sometimes, it's been a constant thing, I think, in all of the world. But I think we got to understand that sometimes we go through things and it's not truly death. It feels like death sometimes. It feels like it's the end. And sometimes we want it to be. Sometimes we think it might be easier if it was just all over and it was done. But that can't be what we do. Because it says here that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
God's going to bring us through. I walk through it. It's just a shadow. It's not the real thing. But he says, I will fear no evil. Is it because of he's just that good? And he's put himself through all this stuff, and he's walked through all this life, and I fear no evil because of me? No. Because you are with me. You, the Father, the Lord, is with me. We go through some tough things in this life, but we can't fear evil. We shouldn't fear evil. If God is truly our shepherd, we will fear no evil because he is with us and he restores our soul. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod there is used for protection. Okay? The staff is more for guidance, to pull them back in and guide them there. He said, through that, through what I see you do for me, through the protection that you give to me, you comfort me, and you get me through that. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So there's some differing opinions on this one. If you guys ever seen, like, I know, like, down in Colorado, or like the Red Rocks and stuff, those kinds of things, they got like tablelands where the it just looks like the earth kind of roads away, and there's like a top, and it looks like, I think of like John Wayne movies and stuff when I think about this, and they're up there or vice versa. But whoever's got the higher ground has got the advantage, I guess you could say. So I guess you could think of like the Rehills and going up on top in that table land, I guess you could say. Others say that you prepare a table before me is like you prepare a big banquet feast in front of me, and you invite me to sit at your table, and I'm there. And the Lord has prepared this for me as a dinner guest in his house, in his place there. And either one of those, I could see David doing both of those, because he's dealt with the sheep. He's been talking about the sheep. And he also had situations in his life where Saul would invite him to his dinner, and David wouldn't go because he was afraid that Saul was going to kill him, and he was going to kill him. And so with that, either way, however you want to look at that, I guess you could say, is it's God's provision. It's God inviting you to a place of security and safety and giving you everything that you have ever needed. Not only that, he does it in the presence of his enemies. Even though we're getting beat down and attacked from every which angle, God is right there. He's put this table before us, whether it's on the top of the ground, and there's usually grass and good flourishment up there for the animals. Whichever that is, it's showing God's character of protection and showing that we're invited to this table, this area, to come and commune with God in the presence of God's enemies, or in the presence of our enemies. They're not invited. They don't get to sit at that table. They don't get to be in that place. But we're there with God. We have no fear because of God with us. And then it says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. He's referring to the blessings that God has given to him. He's like, it's one of those ritual things that they would do back there in their tradition, I guess you could say. And it was referring to his blessings. He's saying that I've got so many blessings that it's overflowing. And I have that to rely on God, and I got that to see through that. So with that, on verses 4 through 5, we can see that we are defended, okay? We can see that we are defended, and we have the ability to have that protector from God. So we can see that God is our defender, okay? We can see that he is our comfort, and we can see he is our protection as well. And we can also see, through that anointing my head with oil, that he is the blesser, you could say, okay? So in those are... Remember, those are objective. So if that's true, and we truly have Christ as our Savior, as our Shepherd, we can see that we are defended, and we are comforted, and we are protected, and we are blessed. This one's a little tough to see. There's a lot of words on there. But if you want me to print it out, I can give it to you or something if you can't see it or whatnot. But that's what we are. We are, if Christ is truly our Shepherd, that's what we can take comfort in. Is that who God is to us and what that position puts us in. So with that, if you guys have heard, I know we've done it in youth group before, the Louis Gigolo has a series that's on Right Now Media. This is another plug. If you have your bullets in there, you can see that we have Right Now Media, and you can scan that QR code somewhere in here on that back page. You scan that. You can have all kinds of, material, videos to watch, Bible studies to go over, sermons to listen to. Anyways, he's got this this series on don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Okay, and it's got this idea of you prepare table before me. And through all of those things that we go through all those valley of the shadow of death, a lot of times that can be our thought life and what we let into our minds and let what we see as a lie from the devil, and we got to see that and do that. He has some steps that he just posted. He like reposted it or whatever. This is from his series there, the Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. But it says, it's talking about taking every thought captive. So I just wanted to read this to you and make sure you guys are able to hear this. And you can go back through and watch those videos, do that Bible study on your own. And it's a good study. I know the Sunday school has done this as well before too. It says, if you don't take every thought captive, the failure lies with you. So you must decide right now, today, to change the story of the battle of your mind. Do that by prayerfully taking every thought captive. So how does this specifically work? First off, you got to see the lie. Identify any deceptive thoughts in your mind. You must see that thought for what it is, a harmful lie. It's far too easy to coddle the thoughts that enter your mind. You are far too agreeable with your thought life. I know I am. You have to examine the thought and say, hey, before you pitch a tent in my mind, let me take a good hard look at you, because when I look at you, I don't think you're congruent with the word of God. And if you're not compatible with what God says, then God didn't send this thought my way. Get out. Number two, second, you got to not my will, but yours. Bind that thought in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When a questionable thought enters into your mind, ask yourself, does that thought line up with the righteous character of God or what's stated plainly in Scripture? If it doesn't, bind that thought in the name of Jesus. DJ of your thoughts. Number three, change the narrative of your story with Scripture. Memorize Scripture. Then replay Scripture in your mind. Exchange the deceptive thoughts of the thoughts of truth. Familiarize yourself with what the Bible says. Then repeat God's truth to yourself again and again, so you know without a doubt what the truth is, and so you can stay on the path of truth. You can stay on the path of truth. Number four, the last one: freedom or leaks. Finally, the Bible indicates that you can play offense with your thoughts instead of playing defense with the harmful thoughts that come your way. Take action and deliberately place helpful thoughts in your mind. Here are some categories to think about. From Philippians 4:8, says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. And then Paul goes on and says, dwell on these things. That's so important. Our thought lives can be so distracting, so discouraging, and so attacking to us. We have to take every thought captive so that way Christ can be our true shepherd. With that, the only shepherd. That's the title of this sermon here, is the only shepherd. And I'm sure you guys are like, wait, so who's the only shepherd? I'm so excited for this. I hope you have understood by now. But if we see Christ as our only shepherd, if we see Christ as our only shepherd, we truly will be led, we will be okay, and we will be rested, restored, and righteous, and we'll be defended. Guys, it's the Lord. The Lord is the only shepherd. Sometimes we let false shepherds come into our lives and distract us and lead us the wrong way. It's the Lord. We have to follow him. No matter, Paul says, no matter if you hear a different gospel from me, even me, Paul, the one that like we all look to, It's like if you hear something different from me or an angel from above, that's not it. It's the Lord. We have to follow the Lord. You have to know in your heart, is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord my shepherd? So ask that question. That's my question to you. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is God truly guiding you? You have to know full well in your heart that God is your shepherd. And if that's true, that's awesome. But it's not just the decision you made. If you made it 2 days ago, 3 months ago, 30 years ago, 80 years ago, you got to know now, in the present right now, is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord guiding you? The only way we can know that is understanding Scripture and following Him through that. Then verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord 2 days out of the week from 5 to 9. No, forever. He's talking about the idea of communion with God, utter dwelling with God and abiding in Him all the days of his life. This idea of dwelling in the house of the Lord, he's talking and got the tabernacle in mind, where the Israelites would move that tabernacle around, and that was where God would be dwelling. Okay? He's saying that through this, and what we have the opportunity now, if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. So for that, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, it's the constant communion, a constant abiding in Christ through that. That idea of I shall dwell has this idea of that where he says up there that he restores my soul. It's a coming back to. We all need a coming back to Christ, no matter where we are. No matter if you feel like, yeah, maybe you feel super encouraged about Psalm 23 and you're super comforted and you feel justified, or you say, yeah, you're talking right to me. So-and-so needs to hear this. You need to ask that question. We all do. Every single time. Is the Lord your shepherd? Not asking that question to somebody else. You ask that in a way that says, is the Lord my shepherd? And I'm not saying this and preaching this to you guys because I think that the Lord is my shepherd all the time, no matter what. That's why I'm preaching this to you. That's why I'm showing this to you, is because we constantly have to do it, and I've constantly had to do that. We all constantly have to do that. That's what we need in this life. We need the Lord to be our shepherd. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for the God that you are. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to follow you. Lord, I thank you for being our shepherd. I just pray for each and every one of us that through this time, we're getting into summer, things get busy, crazy, different. Lord, I pray that we would just be able to stop every single day, every single hour, whenever, Lord, but you would just show yourself to us in the way that you are our shepherd. We could stop and ask that question. Is the Lord my shepherd? I pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing together number 409, I Know Whom I Have Believed. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known. Until him again. unto him against the grave. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know
that song comes from what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering of the gospel of the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. And he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of the Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher, which I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and of love that are in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are dismissed.